court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm just a dude.
Hey, Justin.
How did I get here? A Freaky Friday.
It is Freaky Friday, and I'm actually sitting on the other side where I normally sit, too.
Oh, I didn't realize.
It's totally freaky.
I guess I could have moved, but I was already sitting here.
That's true. Well, it is your office. Yeah, in your recording studio, too.
That's
so.
Fair. That's fair.
Well, yeah. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's pretty awesome. I'm actually, I've had a lot of conversations with you, but I'm actually a little nervous having a podcast with you one-on-one like this. I don't know why.
Well, once in this is a professional setting, I have to pretend like I don't know you. We're basically strangers at this point.
Basically strangers.
We have to start from ground zero. You know, regular Justin, not podcasting Justin
McElroy. That's true. I've never seen podcasting Justin McElroy.
I always drink a giant rally soda, as you can see here, while I'm podcasting. It's my good luck charm.
I don't have any kind of soda. I feel unmanned.
You guys usually come in when I see you come in to record. You usually have just a big bag of beers. So I'm not.
That's true. We do have a large amount of beer coming in. I kind of halfway gave up drinking for Lent though.
Oh, halfway.
Well, I'm going to allow myself to be able to drink one night or one day a week.
That's good.
So, it's actually a 24-hour period. A 24-hour period where I can drink whatever I want.
Okay. So.
Whenever that happens.
How's that going for you?
Pretty good. Well, it's Ash Wednesday. It was yesterday. So,
okay.
I might have a drink tonight. That'd be my 24-hour period. Though,
so yeah, okay. Burn that a little early.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be our episode where we're doing our crossover episode, in case you didn't know. Like, you don't know why Justin's here.
Yeah, we're switching places. Tommy, who's usually in, well, technically Michael's seat, but my metaphorical seat. Is over on Sawbones, our medical history show, and I am here to learn about the law. The law.
For some reason I had like...
Do I have to go on long tangents now since I'm sitting in Tommy's seat? Do I have to veer us into not off-topic conversations?
Well, you need to talk about Led Zeppelin.
Okay, got it.
Some other bands from obscure references from the 70s, which I don't know who they are.
Got it.
And then... Look at me kind of weirdly whenever I make any kind of pop culture reference that's kind of current.
I was listening to an episode, two episodes ago, when he was talking about being at a David Bowie concert. I never even went to a David Bowie concert. I'm so jealous.
I didn't either. And he was telling us, I think he was like 18 at the time, and that was his first exposure to marijuana or something too. And it was,
sounds awesome. How have I never heard that?
How did I not know that? And David Bowie in Charleston back in like 19... something.
That's
long,
what,
19 long ago.
Just the idea of him playing Charleston is also very strange to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, we figured since we're doing this crossover that we would talk about something that talks a little bit about medical things and also talks about the law.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did an episode on HIPAA, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm totally off base here.
No, that sounds about right.
Okay. As I recollect, that was the agreement.
From what I heard through the walls.
Through the walls.
It's largely HIPAA related.
And so we are going to do an episode on HIPAA 2, but this one's going to be a bit more.
HIPAA 2, the sequel. HIPAA 2, much better version of HIPAA that they invented.
Twice the portability.
None of the original stars.
Twice the portability, none of the accountability. Which is actually what it stands for, is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. So it's the acronym is HIPAA.
Okay.
So...
For the longest time, I thought I'd do like Hippocrates and the oath. You know what I mean? The Hippocratic Oath.
That would actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Look, I already learned something.
Yeah.
This is an educational show.
Well, you know, we try. We don't have any beer right now, but we still try. So a little bit about the HIPAA law, which I don't know if you guys have talked about this before. I think you had talked about HIPAA at one point.
We have mentioned it in passing for sure, but.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if y'all had done an episode on it or not. It was enacted on August 21st, 1996, is when it was enacted by Congress. And it was signed into law by Bill Clinton in 1996. Sometimes the law is known as the Kennedy-Kasebaum Act, which is Ted Kennedy and Nancy Kasebaum, because they were the congressmen who sponsored it and the senator who sponsored it. Which, interestingly enough, Ted Kennedy was a Democrat and Nancy Kasebaum was actually a Republican.
Well, that doesn't happen anymore, yeah, but it's
remember,
nice. That,
remember the good old days?
The old days when they would talk to each other.
Yeah, and work on things together and try to get stuff done. HIPAA basically has a lot to do with different things in the medical field. Insurance, Medicaid, Social Security credits, and things like that, which really aren't a lot of fun. They're not a lot of fun to talk about. So what we're going to talk about today is actually going to be HIPAA lawsuits.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So the HIPAA law itself does not actually have any kind of cause of action in it.
What's that mean?
Cause of action? Well, it's funny you should ask. cause of action.
You see, I've been doing a medical history podcast for a few years. I know nothing about the law.
Cause of action defined is a fact or facts that enable a person to bring an action against another. So a cause of action in HIPAA would basically mean that there's nothing in that law which says that if somebody breaks HIPAA, you can sue them under this law. So there doesn't mean you can walk, because HIPAA is a federal law.
Okay.
So if there was a cause of action in HIPAA, that means you could go into the federal courthouse with your filing fee and a complaint and sue somebody under it. But since there's not a cause of action in HIPAA, that basically means that you can't sue somebody for violating HIPAA per se.
Okay.
Now what does happen is that you can sue somebody in state court for basically a different cause of action. And what ends up happening is that they look at HIPAA as the standard of care that the person has breached.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. So
there's state court and federal court. So maybe since you haven't been in the podcast before, you're like, what? There's federal courts, which deal with generally federal jurisdiction type things. And okay. That's like in Huntington terms, that's the courthouse that used to be the post office that's on Fifth Avenue.
Okay, got it.
Farther down across from Jim's Steakhouse.
A reference everybody can appreciate. Yeah,
that's the courthouse across from Jim's Steakhouse.
You know, guys, the courthouse across from Jim's.
Yeah, and then the state courthouse in West Virginia for Cowell County is the one that has the gold dome on top, which used to be across from BW3's, which then turned into Buffalo Wild Wings, which is now in Barbersville.
Yeah.
For everybody out there.
There's no courthouse out there. There's just the mall.
Yeah. There's just a mall. A lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I've gone off on a tangent myself. So, yeah, as I was saying, now once you have the federal lawsuit, there's not a federal lawsuit for HIPAA. So if somebody violates it, you can't walk into the federal courthouse and then file a lawsuit there. You'd have to go to state court. So if somebody discloses on Facebook, your doctor or something like that, that you're pregnant, they write on your wall, congratulations, or something like that, you would sue them in state court. You'd go like to basically the Cowell County Courthouse, and you'd sue them there, file your complaint there.
Even though it's a federal law?
Even though it's a federal law.
Huh.
So basically, HIPAA would be the standard of care that they'd be judged by.
Okay.
You would sue them. The cause of action you would sue them under would basically be some sort of breach of privacy, invasion of privacy, or maybe even like a negligence action. So that's what you would sue
them. So if I can try to attempt to phrase it, so like violating HIPAA wouldn't be the crime, it would be the reason that it is a crime. What they did is a crime. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Like if there was like a medical malpractice type thing too, the standard by which a doctor is judged would be the standard of care that is reasonable among doctors in that field or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing. HIPAA is being basically used as like a barometer to determine if like what you did was reasonable to protect those medical records and things like
that. That's why it's a crime, because it's a doctor. If it was another person, that's why it's there's no, like you said, cause of action, because it's just a standard by which doctors have to carry out their stuff.
And yeah, and other people in the medical field too. Sure. As we're going to learn later on, pharmacists can actually fall under it as well.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's a fun story.
Okay.
So as I had said, there's basically in state court, probably if you sue somebody for some sort of HIPAA violation, it would be under a negligence cause of action or a breach of privacy. So in order to prove a negligence case, you have to have four elements, which are duty, breach, cause, and damages. And those are the general four elements of a negligence case.
Okay.
So basically the second element, the duty, is where that HIPAA would be like kind of the barometer. You'd say, you know, did they breach that duty?
Nice.
They breached that duty to you.
I feel like Tommy wouldn't let that one lay, so I have to kind of pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't. That's right in his wheelhouse. A lot of these HIPAA cases that we try to sue somebody, the one factor that's missing from those four elements is damages. Just because something gets disclosed to somebody or something happens doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be actual damages that you're going to suffer. And that's one problem a lot of times with these lawsuits is that you have to have actual provable economic damages.
So, which I would guess for a private citizen and just like a violation of their privacy is hard to prove sometimes.
Yeah. A good example of where there might be some damages you can prove are if they release something to somebody and they use like your social security number to open up a credit card and it causes you issues and your credit dips. And then you have to hire a lawyer to get that fixed. And then those kinds of things. Those are actual economic damages that you could actually prove in a court of law. Basically just saying that, you know, I was a little embarrassed that they talked about my athlete's foot. that's not something,
right?
You know, that you're going to have a lot of damages over. Now, the one difference is that HIPAA, there is a federal like portion of this too. Different providers can be fined quite a bit of money by the federal government for not following it. And that's not something that a private citizen recovers. That's something the federal government fines them for not following through with. So it's kind of like that's the incentive for the federal government.
Is it like punitive, basically? Is that?
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, in theory, it's kind of the same reason. Punitive is derived. It's meant to punish people to make them make sure they don't do that again, basically. So it is kind of punitive in nature, but it's more like a fine.
Okay.
It'd be more like I'm trying to think what a good something would be similar to. It would be if you ran a restaurant, the health department came in and saw that you were doing something like I remember one thing because I used to work in a kitchen. If you kept the ice scoop in the ice itself, that's a bad one. But if you did something like that and they fined you for that and they fined you $100, you would just pay like, you know, the health department $100 for that fine. So it's kind of similar to that.
Okay.
And you know, the ice scoop in the ice. So as I was saying, the damages are usually the hardest thing to prove in a lot of these cases because it's hard to kind of track what the economic loss is going to be. So
yeah, that makes sense.
You know, car accident negligence cases are kind of easy because you can have doctor's bills that say, well, you know, they had to spend $15,000 getting traction for their back because you ran a red light. So that's kind of an easy one to show where the economic damages are.
And I guess by its nature, you can't really have HIPAA protection for like a corporation or other entity like that because it's just between the doctor and the individual patient, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Now, I'm not a HIPAA expert.
Nor am I.
Yeah. You're not?
Obviously.
You're not a Hippocrates expert? But yeah, I don't believe there's any kind of protections for corporations or things like that. It's basically just for people.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the one thing I want to talk about is because there are some really funny cases. Well, not funny. They're kind of embarrassing. But there's some interesting cases.
Funny to us. Embarrassing to the people that have been to, for sure.
But yeah, I want to talk about those because, you know, since this is a legal podcast.
Yeah.
But first, you know where we need to go, Justin.
Where?
To the billing department.
Let's go.
What happens next?
No, you guys don't go to the billing department. We could do a fake ad here if you wanted to.
Fake ad?
Yeah.
No. Well, we don't have a billing department. We say you need to approach the bench to pay court costs.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, that's in theory because we actually haven't had any advertisers.
But when we do. See, advertisers, listen, they got a line all lined up.
That's right.
Get on board.
We'll approach the bench and we'll pay court costs, assess fees. Well, my favorite case, and I hate to lead off with this one because the other ones are going to seem kind of tame in comparison, but I'm really just chomping at the bit to get to this one.
Okay.
And this was a action where a private individual sued Walgreens in an Indiana state court, and they were awarded $1.44 million.
Whoa!
You can't see this. I'm doing the Austin Powers thing. for the HIPAA violation against Walgreens.
How on earth?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So basically, the snapshot of what happened is this, but there's more to it. Is that one of the pharmacists shared some confidential medical information about a client that had once dated her husband. That's what the first thing I found about this lawsuit was. But to me, that seemed like a little, like, I wonder, there's got to be a bit more to that story.
Sure, yeah.
So I decided what I would do is investigate this case a bit further.
Okay.
And there were definitely some good facts. So the facts as recited in the decision are that the plaintiff, Abigail Hinchy, was engaged in an on and off sexual relationship with Devion Peterson. And during her relationship with Peterson, she filled all of her prescriptions at a Walgreens pharmacy. And while Peterson was in this relationship with Hinchy, he started a relationship with a Walgreens pharmacist
named
Audra Withers.
Oh, no.
And they were subsequently married. So Peterson married Withers. And while he was in both relationships, Hinchy became pregnant with Peterson's child and actually delivered a son.
Okay.
And then the side note is that Peterson discovered that he had also contracted genital herpes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that's a bit more in-depth than what the snapshot of this case is. So what happened was, is Peterson, he sent a letter to Withers basically saying, hey, there was a baby born, and it's Abigail Hinchy's, and also you may have been exposed to genital herpes.
Oh, my gosh.
So Withers became absolutely terrified about the fact that she might have gotten this STD. So when she went back to work at Walgreens, she thought, you know what? I'm going to look in my database and see if this lady's ever filled a prescription here.
Okay.
So she went and looked at her prescription profile, and I guess she looked at it one time and couldn't find anything. She looked at it a second time because she wasn't sure about if she had spelled the name correctly. And the second time she said she found out, and she told Peterson about this, that her medication history, that Hinchy had admitted to basically failing to renew her birth control. So she went off birth control. So it seems like maybe she got pregnant on purpose.
Hachi machi.
Yeah. So she disclosed this information not only to Peterson, but then also, I guess they told several other people about this as well. So they sent Hinchy a letter to let her know about all this stuff. Because basically what they were trying to do is show that a paternity lawsuit. So they were trying to gather this information because at this point they were married. So they were trying to protect Peterson. So she was trying to gather this information.
So the ex-girlfriend is the one who got pregnant. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's a little complicated.
Yeah. Okay. So the ex-girlfriend. Okay. So guy is dating a woman and he starts going to Walgreens, falls in love with the pharmacist there.
Right. When he's filling his other prescriptions.
Other prescriptions. They start talking. They get married. And then at some point before that happens, the original girlfriend had gone off for birth control intentionally.
Maybe.
We don't know. But, and then the pharmacist went back and found that out after they had gotten married. Is that right?
Yeah.
Whoa, gosh. Yeah. That seems bad for Walgreens.
I know. And so Hinchy, the girlfriend with the baby, she contacted Walgreens and she was pretty mad about this.
Yeah.
Basically, her private information had been disclosed to all these people.
Oof.
And then Walgreens investigated it. And actually, the pharmacist said, she admitted, like, yeah, I looked at it for personal reasons. So Walgreens basically admitted that a HIPAA violation had occurred. They told Hinchy that she had viewed her prescriptions for personal purposes. But they didn't know whether or not it had been conveyed to anybody else or anything like that. So basically, Walgreens gave her just a warning and said, hey.
You're kidding me. Really?
Yeah, they just gave her a warning and she wasn't fired.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's you have to be apparently pretty bad to get fired from Walgreens, apparently, because that is like,
I would think that'd be really high on the scale.
It seems like number one thing.
Things a pharmacist you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
I guess
there's probably actually, now that I think about it, a lot of things as a pharmacist. Lot of bad business you get into there. Yeah, but
taking your own drugs.
Exactly. But like, oh man, that is wild.
Yeah, so she's filed suit against Walgreens, basically saying, and this was a negligence action, where she said that Walgreens was negligent, and also that the pharmacist was negligent as well, and professional malpractice. So probably the negligence, and I didn't figure out what this was, but probably the negligence against Walgreens was there's a cause of action called negligent retention of an employee. So if you know that there's an employee who you shouldn't keep on for certain reasons, you could file a lawsuit under that theory too. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of cause of action.
So. Well, that seems weird to me because it happened after, like, they decided to keep her after this happened, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, when you're trying to bootstrap together a lawsuit against a company like that, you'll file a lawsuit based on that too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because usually you can find their employment record and you'll find something in there that's not quite stellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the jury returned a verdict for Ms. Hinchy and it was appealed and the appeal court upheld it.
So, and how much was the total?
$1.44 million.
Do you have any idea how they could have gotten to that number? Like, that seems so
I really don't know.
I mean,
I guess that's one of those things. Whenever you have these cases, and I maybe at that point there was some sort of punitive damage, mm-hmm. but punitive damages aren't always available. They're only available in certain causes of action. So maybe the court felt that releasing this information, or maybe there's some sort of cause of action, was so egregious mm-hmm. that they allowed punitive damages. So.
I guess legal costs could fall in that too, right?
Yeah, legal costs as well. For a lawsuit, like it said it was a 4-day trial. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty substantial trial.
Yeah.
So, but probably not super substantial, but there's probably a lot of medical records and pharmaceutical records for them to go through. Mm-hmm. So, the one funny thing I saw about this was it said Walgreens disagreed with the ruling.
No kidding.
It's like,
I wonder if they fired her after that.
I would have to think so.
Wouldn't you think so? But I don't know. The damage is done then, right?
I'd like to know, where are they now?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, that was my favorite. I should have held that one back for the very end.
Oof, that's rough.
Yeah. There was another one where basically a Pennsylvania doctor was retiring, and basically this company that did sort of medical records for him called Parkview Health Systems, they were the ones who were in charge of his medical records, and they found out he was retiring, and they went to his house and delivered 71 cardboard boxes full of past patients' medical records and just left him sitting on his doorstep.
So, here you go. Is this okay? Yeah, it's fine. Let's go.
Just drop it off.
Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Not my problem.
Nope. It's his problem now. That's great.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So it said that approximately 5,000 to 8,000 patients had their information just sitting in his driveway unattended.
Maybe they were going by like the needle in a haystack theory. Like there are so many papers here. They're not going to individually be able to find yours, right? So there's like, well, there's no shot they'd be able to find it. There's too many papers.
Exactly. And that was one where HIPAA fined Parkview $800,000. So that was kind of that was a federal fine levied against them.
Okay.
So there wasn't like one of those instances where somebody actually had their information stolen and then filed some sort of negligence action. That was basically just one of those fine situations.
Okay.
There was another doctor, and this was in Pennsylvania as well, actually, where he took all of his medical records to a dump. And it was actually 7 tons of medical records.
Man, I thought 71 boxes were bad.
Yeah. And actually, some other local man saw him doing this, and he went and retrieved 47 files from the dump site and he alerted a newspaper because he said, hey, you know, this isn't right.
He was just sitting there with a big tube in his robe pumping medical records into the landfill. My medical records collector's full.
that's a beaut, Justin. So basically, he was fined $10,000 for each violation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably 7 tons of. I'm sure it worked out to be less than that, but that was quite a hefty.
Yeah, sum. That's rough.
There was one other case where basically some janitors for this California company called Eureka Internal Medicine, and they were commingling recycled patient information with regular trash.
Oh, okay.
So basically, they would say, "Oh, you know what? Recycling trash, shredded, no problem. We'll just put it all in one bin,"
mm-hmm.
and basically, they took it all out, and they failed to shred all of that, and they had to self-report because HIPAA also has this self-reporting component of it, where if you know that there's some sort of HIPAA violation you discover that you've done, then you have to come clean with it, basically.
Mm.
And
they should have, you know what? They should have that for all crimes. Like,
shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should just have that. So, like, if you do a crime, you legally have to tell somebody you did a crime. That would make police work, like, so much easier.
Yeah, we could save money on police work.
Yeah, it would just be like, hey, listen, I did the crime. I know it's the law that I have to come in and tell you that I did it. So I'm here to tell you. So we're good, right? Okay, bye.
Yeah, my bad.
That's my bad. But it's not a crime anymore, right? Because I admitted it.
Well, how about this? When I did it, I didn't know it was wrong, but then I found out later. So my bad.
Trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. That would actually probably get rid of a lot of people's jobs, possibly mine included.
Yeah.
So, well, nobody wanted to do that.
Yeah, you're the guy that comes in with him and he's like, no, he totally did do it. Yeah, it's for sure. Yeah, this is legit.
Well, sometimes I've had to do that.
Oh, really?
For clients. Okay. It's like when it's really, really bad and there's no way around it. You're just gonna
lean into it.
Yeah, lean into it. Like, yeah, he did it, but you know what? He's not such a bad guy. Yeah, well, that's HIPAA and some fun HIPAA lawsuits.
It seems, and I don't know if you probably can't say concretely, but based on your sort of legal experience, it seems to me like it would be harder to the ones that you mentioned all kind of deal with have like a paper trail component to it. So it seems like when you think about HIPAA, a lot of like, or at least when I think about it, I tend to think about like doctors telling somebody something that they heard. But I would guess that a lot of cases like that would be really hard to prosecute, right?
Right. Hard to prove because it's based on statements. You'd have to have somebody basically overhearing that, essentially, I would think would be the one instance.
Yeah.
Huh. The other thing, too, is there could be a lot of electronic stuff. There's cases where people have had violations and been sued because, like, a doctor maybe was keeping people's medical records on their private laptop or something like that, and it wasn't locked down properly, and then their laptop was stolen, mm-hmm. and somebody could discover all that client, all mm-hmm. that, you know, privileged information for mm-hmm. their, I guess they're not clients, are they? What do you mean? Patients.
Patients, yeah.
Clients, patients, whatever. People they see.
I would guess that also you can't, like, this wouldn't extend to, I don't know if doctors can testify with regards to their patients.
Well, they can, I think, in certain limited circumstances, because there is like a doctor-client privilege, because mm-hmm. People have a certain expectation of privacy when they go to see a doctor. Mm-hmm. Same as pretty much an attorney for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, but in a HIPAA case like this, I guess they could try to like use that as a shield, say, well, I can't talk about that. That's confidential.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the HIPAA has basically got all people in healthcare. I'm sure Sydney talks about HIPAA quite a bit, mm-hmm. and they're concerned for it. I know the people at the hospital are hyper vigilant about it.
Yeah, I think for her also, and I would guess from like most of the doctors that she talks to, it's like there is obviously a legal component to it. And I'm saying this without hearing what she said about it, but I know there's a legal component to it, but I know beyond that, it's like, I think it's even bigger than that for most doctors. Like I think that they really, even if the law wasn't in place, it's like something that they take really seriously. Like Sydney won't even, it's not like I ask, but like sometimes she'll be telling me a story about work or whatever, and she won't, intentionally doesn't disclose like information and patient information. And it's like, she'll skip over the part that has to do with her, you know, her interactions with her patients. And like, that's me talking to her at home,
right.
You know, and even that, like she won't violate it. So like, I don't know. I think it's something that they, I think it's good that we have the law. Cause not everybody is, you know, is as scrupulous as my wife is, but I know it's something they take pretty seriously.
Absolutely. I kind of feel the same way about like legal things as well. I try to keep everything very, you know, locked down is what people tell me. Well, I don't try to. I do keep everything locked down is what people tell me.
Why do you think that's important? Like, why do you think it's important to have that doctor, patient, or, you know, lawyer, client privilege?
Well, I think on a certain level that we need to have public policy in place where people can go to certain professions and certain people and have that expectation of privacy, because that's going to lead to, it'll lead to better treatment for the patients, for the doctors. If you go in there and you think like, well, geez, if I disclose to them something that they're going to tell everybody, then people might not disclose everything. Mm-hmm. They might not be completely truthful, which mm-hmm. would be, you know, I think bad for public policy.
Yeah.
They're not completely truthful. And same thing with attorneys too. There should be, if you really want to have, and in most in criminal cases, especially under the Sixth Amendment, you have a right to counsel. But in general, as an attorney, you should have complete privacy to discuss with your attorney anything you want. And an attorney really doesn't have to disclose anything that's discussed with them unless it's some sort of breaking some sort of law or, you know, crosses some sort of other ethical type boundary. But very few things do.
Like you mentioned breaking some kind of law, like what kind of?
Well, like, for example, if you come into my office and you're like, you sit down at my desk and like, Mike, I want to hire you. I'm like, okay, what's going on, Justin? And you say, I'm going to kill a man.
Okay.
Then I would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, this, you know, I have to tell you that whatever you're going to tell me about killing this person is not going to be confidential.
Like, because it hasn't happened yet.
Right. 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 Because I would, Justin, like, I don't think you should kill this person. it's not Listen, good.
It's inadvisable. It seems like the wrong route to go.
It's not good. But yeah. Like, basically, there's some sort of criminal act that's about to happen, that would be something I would have to.
What if, okay, this is a weird theoretical, but like, what if you had a client and they told you that they were guilty? Could you still argue for a not guilty verdict?
You can, but the one thing is I would not be able to like put them on the stand and let them testify and say they didn't do it.
Because
basically they would be perjuring themselves. Now I'd be kind of
a bad lawyer.
and I would be allowing them to perjure themselves in court.
Yeah.
And I would be actually in furtherance of that.
Okay.
So if somebody comes to me and be like, yeah, I did it, then I'm like, well, okay, I appreciate your candor with me, but that takes away a bit of our options. Mm-hmm. I can't really let you testify and say, I didn't do it.
Are you perjuring yourself? Like at that point, would you be perjuring yourself if you said in the court that they didn't do it, if they admitted to you that they did?
No, I mean, I think it would be unethical for me to argue that they didn't do it.
Right.
I think I would have to put on facts that basically poke holes in the prosecution's case as far as that's concerned.
Like, you know, you'd have to dance around like, yes, Michael, but did he do it? Like, let's get back to that. Anyway,
that's
let me check this glove out again.
That's double speaking lawyer talk. Check this glove out again.
You're trying to throw around a bunch of jargon in here, and I'm just trying to get from A to B.
Well, if he did do it, he wouldn't have done it like that.
So you're saying he did it?
No. Listen. You got this all wrong.
That's not the point.
No, but I like it when my clients come in and tell me that, because it really makes it a lot easier in my mind, because I'm thinking, okay, this case is taking a different track. We're going to try to work out the best kind of deal for this guy, because we don't really have a great defense.
Right.
So at least that's how I kind of look at it sometimes. Yeah. So cool. Sometimes it's a good and a bad thing when a client tells you because it limits your hands a little bit.
Yeah.
So, well, that's going to bring us to legal.
Priest.
All right.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Nailed it. So for those of you who are listening for the first time, Legal Briefs is the part of the show where I go over some different legal terms that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I quiz Tommy on these, and sometimes he quizzes me on things.
I won't be doing that.
You're not going to quiz me?
No.
Okay, good.
No quizzing going on from my end. This is my first time. Wouldn't be proper.
So I tried to make it, since it's your first time, I tried to go easy on you.
Okay.
Some easy ones we talked about in depth.
Okay.
So the first term is cause of action.
Cause of action.
Which I will say, you zeroed in on right away when you said, what does that mean?
Yeah, I knew that there'd be a quiz later. I would describe it as the reason that you are able to file suit.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
That works. The definition I gave was facts or facts that enable a person to bring an action against another. That's pretty much the same thing you said. It's basically what allows you to sue somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Some different examples were like negligence, negligent retention of an employee, breach of confidential information, breach of privacy. One of those things I just talked about was negligence. And I did mention that there are four elements to negligence.
Oh, no. Did you mention what they were? I don't know.
I did.
You did.
And one of them is definitely chuckleable.
Duty.
Got that. Nailed it.
So duty.
Duty.
Got that.
Nailed it.
I'm sorry, Michael. That's all I got.
Breach.
Cause.
And then damages.
All right. Let me try again. You can just fix it in post, make me sound really smart. Breach, cause, damages, and duty. Crushed it.
I like how you said duty last.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got to save the punchline for the end.
Duty, breach, cause, damages, and duty again.
Duty also, still.
Well, the last term is, this is not fair.
Okay.
What does HIPAA stand for?
Hold on. Hospital. Health, Health or hospital?
Health.
Health?
Mm-hmm.
To E?
I.
I. Okay. Health, information?
Nope.
Info?
Nope.
Just a shorter version of it.
health is?
Health?
Health in portability acts.
Kinda.
Health, what?
Health, insurance, portability.
Insurance, portability.
And?
And. It's and?
And.
The A is and?
No, the A is silent.
Okay, got it.
Or no, the and is silent. The A is not silent.
Health insurance, portability, and accessibility?
Accountability.
Accountability.
Act.
Darn it.
Yep. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Got it in one.
Health Insurance, Portability, and Accountability Act.
Okay.
Which, I don't know why it's named that.
It seems that. Yeah, I don't actually understand.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of stuff in there that deals with, like, Medicaid and insurance and Social Security credits and stuff like that that's not even fun to talk about.
Yeah.
We want to talk about pharmacists talking about pregnancies and boyfriends and girlfriends and genital herpes and
yeah. You know,
that kind of stuff. So. Well, Justin, thanks for being on Court Appointed.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I guess if you want to hear the other half of this story and the other half of this show.
I bet they didn't talk about pregnancy and genital herpes.
I would guarantee you they didn't. You can go over to Sawbones. That's a show I do with my wife, Sydney, about medical history. So let's just get on iTunes.
Yeah.
Sawbones. It's there. And Tommy's over there co-hosting this week. So
I can't wait to hear Tommy talking to Sydney.
She said it went good.
Really?
Yeah, she said it was really good.
I wonder if Tommy, like, I don't know. I can't wait to see it. Well, this is the point where we say thanks to McElroy Studios for the use of their space.
Well, you're very welcome, Michael. It's the least we could do.
Yeah.
Here at McElroy Studios, we prize high-quality podcasting. We're going to make our resources available to all the talent in this region.
And
family. It's a table. It's a table and two microphones.
And family members.
Yeah. Yeah. And also family members.
And also family members. Thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
And do I have a part here?
I think so. That's usually what Tommy says sometimes.
What does he say?
And check out the other McElroy.
Oh, yeah. Listen to the other McElroy shows like
the other McElroy podcasts. Plug your other shows.
McElroyshows.com. You can find a whole list of them there. McElroy shows.com. And thanks to the hosts of Court Appointed for fixing my screen door at my house because it had fallen off the hinges and they fixed it last weekend. So I want to thank Court Appointed for fixing my screen door.
You're quite welcome. Here at Court Appointed, we prize the accessibility and accountability of screen doors. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks to everybody for listening. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Justin McElroy. And I am just a dude.
Tommy, what are you doing here?
Well, aren't I always here?
I guess. I mean,
what? Did you replace me?
No. I mean, I could never replace you, but I mean, you weren't here. Justin was here, and then I don't...
You took an awful hard hit on the head, young lady.